What I'd like to do now is to begin by giving a brief history of Buddhism and how it sort of began.
Entonces ahora con lo que quiero comenzar es dar una breve historia del budismo, explicar un poco de cómo fue que comenzó.
In 563 BC, we have a prince being born in Lumbini.
En el año 560 antes de Cristo tenemos a un príncipe que nació en Lumbini.
His name was Prince Siddhartha.
Su nombre era Príncipe Siddhartha.
And Lumbini is now in modern day Nepal, southern Nepal.
Y ahora Lumbini está en la parte sur de Nepal.
And Prince Siddhartha was the son of the king, Suddhodana.
Y el príncipe Siddhartha era el hijo del rey Suddhodana.
And when he was born, the sage of the court, Asita,
y cuando nació el sabio de la corte o el Sita,
prophesied to the king that this boy would either become a great king himself or a great spiritual leader.
Y este sabio le profetizó al rey que este príncipe va a ser una de estas dos cosas, va a ser o un gran rey o un gran maestro espiritual.
So of course his father the king wanted Prince Siddhartha to follow in his footsteps and to become the next king.
Y por supuesto el rey lo que quería era que este príncipe siguiera en sus pasos y que se convirtiera en el próximo gran rey.
So in his upbringing he did everything to promote that, to put bring the prince in that direction. So he enjoyed a lot of pleasures in the palace.
Así que durante su crianza el rey puso una gran cantidad de esfuerzo en tratar de lograr que el príncipe se volviera un rey, entonces estuvo rodeado de una gran cantidad de placeres y una vida muy cómoda.
But as the prince was growing up, no matter how much pleasure and power he had in the palace, he was never satisfied.
Pero el príncipe conforme iba creciendo, sin importar la gran cantidad de comodidades y placeres y poder que tenía en el palacio, estaba insatisfecho.
And felt that there must be some deeper meaning to life than merely having a lot of pleasure.
Y pensaba que debería de haber un mayor significado en la vida que simplemente tener una gran cantidad de placer.
And in his upbringing he had four experiences that really made a strong impression upon the prince.
Y en su crecimiento tuvo cuatro experiencias que tuvieron un fuerte impacto en la vida de este príncipe.
So in the palace, of course, he was surrounded by a lot of pleasure, a lot of beauty, but then as he was growing up, he had a few visits outside the palace.
Y por supuesto, dentro de la vida del palacio solamente había belleza y placeres, pero había veces que él salía del palacio.
On these visits outside the palace, he really saw the harsh realities of life. He saw aging, sickness, and death.
Y durante estas visitas afuera del palacio fue cuando realmente el príncipe pudo ver la realidad dura de la vida. Vio el envejecimiento, la enfermedad y la muerte.
And this had a very strong impression on the prince.
Y esto tuvo una muy fuerte impresión en el príncipe.
Also, on one occasion, outside the palace, he saw a wandering mendicant, a holy person who seemed to be very much at peace with themselves.
Y también en una de estas visitas, el príncipe vio a un mendicante, a un practicante espiritual que parecía que tenía una gran paz interna.
And so these experiences really led the prince to wish to find out the deeper meaning for life and the source of suffering, and if it was possible to overcome this.
Y estas experiencias le dieron al príncipe la motivación para y la certeza de que había un significado interno en la vida mucho más significativo, y le dio como la energía para tratar de buscar qué eran estas.
So at age 29, he decided he had to find really the meaning to life, and so he escaped from the palace under the cover of darkness.
Y entonces, a la edad de 29 años, él decidió buscar el significado verdadero de la vida, y en la oscuridad salió del palacio.
And already at that time, of course, there were a lot of spiritual traditions in ancient India.
Y por supuesto, aún en esa época había una gran cantidad de tradiciones espirituales en la India antigua.
So he found some teachers in these traditions, and in most of these traditions, it was felt that the way to become liberated from suffering was to develop deep meditative absorption.
Y por supuesto que tuvo muchos maestros en esta época. Y aquí lo que se enfatizaba era que para encontrar la felicidad interna o la paz mental, lo que se debería de buscar o debería uno de entrar en absorciones meditativas profundas.
Because as we develop deep meditative absorption, a lot of our craving and attachment and aversion will subside.
Porque cuando entramos a una en una absorción meditativa profunda, nuestros apegos, nuestro aferramiento, nuestra aversión va a ir bajando o naturalmente como que se va desvaneciendo.
And it was felt that as we develop higher levels of absorption, we can really transcend suffering altogether.
Y se creía que cuando entrábamos a absorciones meditativas profundas, cada vez más profundas y cada vez más estables, realmente se iba a poder, así de esta forma se trascendía el sufrimiento.
And part of these traditions, it was felt that, you know, attachment was the problem, particularly attachment to our body.
Y lo que se creía en estas tradiciones es que el problema principal que tenemos es el apego, específicamente el apego hacia nuestro propio cuerpo.
So part of the practice was to deny the body.
Así que parte de la práctica era negar el cuerpo.
So part of that was very ascetic practices of not eating and drinking, denying the body.
Parte de estas prácticas eran prácticas en las que no se comía o se bebía, totalmente negando al cuerpo.
So Prince Siddhartha spent 6 years following this style of practice.
El príncipe pasó 6 años siguiendo este tipo de práctica.
To the point where he was on the verge of death from starvation.
Al punto en el que llegó casi a morir debido a la falta de comida.
And at that point he realized that this was also an extreme path.
Y en este momento se dio cuenta de que este también era un camino extremo.
That he realized that previously in the palace he was following the extreme of indulgence.
En el palacio pensó, estaba yo siguiendo el camino de la indulgencia.
And now that all he had done is gone to the other extreme of asceticism.
Y se dio cuenta que ahora todo lo que había hecho era irse hacia el otro extremo del asceticismo.
So he abandoned his teachers and then set out on his own to find the truth, the middle way.
Así que abandonó a sus maestros y se fue a buscar su propio camino, el camino medio.
And so he ended up in Bodh Gaya, and he decided to sit under a Bodhi tree there to find the truth.
Así que terminó en Bodh Gaya y se sentó debajo del árbol del Bodhi a buscar la verdad.
And so he then, in his meditation there, he found, realized the source of suffering and overcame the source of suffering and found liberation from suffering.
Así que debajo del árbol del Bodhi, se dio cuenta o encontró la fuente del sufrimiento, cómo sobrepasar el sufrimiento, y debajo de este árbol encontró la liberación.
And thereby overcame suffering, achieved liberation, and became Buddha.
Y así fue como terminó o totalmente destruyó su propio sufrimiento, encontró la liberación y se volvió el Buda.
And then he became known as Shakyamuni Buddha.
Y después se volvió conocido como el Buda Shakyamuni.
Buddha often is translated as like awakened one, someone completely awakened.
El Buda usualmente se traduce como el que está despierto, el que está totalmente despierto.
Someone who has not only liberated themselves from suffering, but also has fully developed all the positive qualities.
No solamente alguien que ha sobrepasado cualquier tipo de sufrimiento, sino que tiene una gran cantidad de cualidades positivas.
Shakya was the clan or group of people that he grew up with.
Shakya era el clan o el grupo de gente con el que él creció.
Muni has many meanings.
Muni tiene muchos significados.
Here it means someone who has a lot of capacity or ability.
Muni significa alguien que tiene muchas capacidades
or habilidades. And here it means that someone who has a lot of capacity or ability to help others to overcome suffering.
Y en este contexto lo que significa alguien que tiene muchas capacidades o habilidades para ayudar a otros a trascender el sufrimiento.
So Shakyamuni Buddha is the completely awakened one from the Shakya clan who has a capacity to help liberate others from suffering.
Entonces Buda Shakyamuni significa el despierto del clan Shakya, que tiene muchas capacidades o habilidades para ayudar a otros a trascender el sufrimiento.
But he felt that what he had discovered was so profound, no one would understand him.
Él pensó que lo que había descubierto era tan profundo que nadie lo iba a poder entender.
But then he thought the five ascetics who he was previously following might be able to understand what he had discovered.
Pero entonces pensó que quizá los cinco ascéticos con el que él había estado estudiando, a lo mejor ellos podían entender lo que él había descubierto.
So he set out to find them, and he headed towards Sarnath, which is very close to Varanasi.
Así que se fue a buscarlos y terminó en Sarnath, que está muy cerca de la ciudad de Varanasi.
So he found the five ascetics there, and
encontró a los cinco ascéticos ahí,
en Sarnath, and gave his first teaching to them.
Y dio su primera enseñanza a ellos.
And that teaching was the Four Noble Truths.
Y esta enseñanza fue las cuatro verdades nobles.
And the Four Noble Truths are the foundation of all Buddhist traditions.
Y las cuatro verdades nobles son la base de todas las tradiciones budistas.
And that is going to be the main focus of this weekend. We're going to look at these Four Noble Truths.
Y este va a ser nuestro enfoque principal en este fin de semana, las cuatro verdades nobles.
And so what we are going to do with these Four Noble Truths is to introduce each of the Four Noble Truths. We're going to show a short video from Mingyur Rinpoche explaining these Four Noble Truths.
Y entonces lo que vamos a hacer es que vamos a poner un pequeño video de Mingyur Rinpoche exponiendo brevemente qué es o cuáles son cada una de estas cuatro verdades nobles.
So we're going to show five videos. The first one is an introduction into the Four Noble Truths.
Vamos a enseñarles cinco videos. El primero es una introducción a las cuatro verdades nobles.
And then one video for each of the Four Noble Truths. So we will introduce each one and then we'll give some more explanation on them.
Y luego los cuatro videos están relacionados con cada una de las cuatro verdades nobles y después vamos a profundizar un poquito más en cada uno haciendo una explicación.
And each of the videos, of course, he's speaking in English, but with Spanish subtitles.
Y en cada uno de estos videos habla en inglés, pero por supuesto tienen subtítulos en español.
Terga have done a very good job to put the subtitles in there for you.
Tergar ha hecho un muy buen trabajo de poner ahí los subtítulos para ustedes.
So we'll now begin by showing the introduction into the Four Noble Truths, show the video from Mingyur Rinpoche, and then we'll have a look at that in some more detail after the video.
Entonces vamos a comenzar con la introducción al video de las cuatro verdades nobles con Mingyur Rinpoche y luego vamos a hablar un poco más al respecto.
So I think it's about 13 minutes long, this video, so I'll pass over to Seth now to
push the button.
That's okay, or close?
Yeah, if you want to close the whole thing, it's fine. You can do the whole thing in the corner.
Okay. I'm not in the way of Mr. Rinpoche.
I want to talk a little bit about four noble truths, which is the foundational teaching of Buddha, or basic teaching of the Buddha. And this is first teaching of the Buddha after Buddha achieved enlightenment in the Buddhagaya. Under Bodhi trees, and Buddha went to Sarana. Now, it's in India. Now they call Banarasi, near the Banarasi, Sarana. And the Buddha gave teaching. The first teaching is Four Noble Truths. And this is the first teaching, and also, not only the basic teaching, all the Buddha's teaching is kind of like include in Four Noble Truths. But there's many different levels of the Four Noble Truths. For example, Four Noble Truths as Theravadin style, Mahayana style, Vajrayana style. But in general, the Four Noble Truths is more like math of all the Buddha's teaching. Okay. What are the Four Noble Truths? The first is the truth of suffering. Sometimes translated as suffering, sometimes unsatisfied, non-satisfied, or there's many different translations. But anyway, I will tell you the meaning later. And second is the truth of causes of suffering. The causes of suffering. And third is cessation. Cessation means the truth of cessation, which is the liberate, the freedom from suffering, achieve liberation from suffering. So cessation, what sees the suffering? Cessation of suffering. Third. Now last one, path. The truth of path. That is how to achieve the liberation, how to achieve the freedom from suffering. The third Four Noble Truths is the cessation, which is free from suffering, but how to achieve that? You have to take the path, the method, the way to free from suffering is the last one. And this is the just general map of the Four Noble Truths. First two is belong to samsara. In the West, suffering is only referred as like pain or only very strong, strong or uncomfortable feeling, something like that, yeah. But in Buddhism, what we call in Sanskrit, dukkha. Dukkha means everything connected with impermanence, connected with attachment, grasping, not satisfied, all this is belong to suffering. So could be pain, could be pleasure experience, pleasure or happiness experience, but happiness with strong fixation, grasping. This is why it will cause for suffering. Okay. And then, second is, where does suffering come from? There's causes of suffering. So causes of suffering. And then the result is the suffering. These two belong to samsara. This is circle of the suffering. Now, how to liberate from that? How to get out of it? So Buddha gave example. Samsara is like vase. One vase, vase, one pot or vase. And if you put V in the vase, and then the V circle in the vase, sometimes go up, sometimes go down, the circle. Never come out of the vase. So for us, samsara is sometimes happy, sometimes nice, sometimes nice suffering. So life is like way of the ocean, up and down, and up and down. All this, you know, running, chasing after one thing, then it's the circling, the loop, or like dog chasing the tail. That is samsara. That is samsara. And how to get out of that circle of suffering? Then you have to practice this second two, the cessation, truth of cessation, and the path. And this way, you can break this circle of suffering and achieve liberation. Okay. Now, this, Buddha gave example of this Four Noble Truths, connected with the disease, sick disease. This way, of course, we have disease, yeah. Disease is the first example of first noble truth. Disease, problem, sickness. And the second, the causes of disease. And that is you have to examine the doctor, yeah. So if you can remove the causes of disease, the sickness, then you don't have sickness. This is why the third Four Noble Truth is the healthy or free from disease. When you remove the causes of disease, then you eliminate disease, then you will have healthy body, healthy life, no problems, no disease. That is example of truth of cessation. Now, how to get rid of causes of disease? You need treatment, medicine or whatever, exercise or taking care of your food, your behave, your mind, and the manage time, environment, eating medicine. All those things is how to remove causes of the disease, and that is last path, what we call path, the truth of path. Example of last Four Noble Truth, the path. So this Four Noble Truth is like Buddha gave example with the four situation with the disease. And now if you wonder how to practice this Four Noble Truth, the Buddha said four things. To be known means you learn, you know. First is to be known. Second is to be eliminated, to be abandoned. You're abandoning. And third is to achieve. And last is to rely on it, to practice. This way, to be known, to eliminate, to achieve, and practice. Four. This is why the first Four Noble Truth, suffering, to be known, means you have to know. For example, the disease. If you have sickness, if you have disease, first important is you have to recognize, yeah? You have to know what disease is. If you don't know your disease, then that is the biggest problem. Then you don't know how to eliminate your disease, and how to eliminate your sickness, and then your sickness become more serious, and slowly become maybe cancer. Then too late, you know. This is the first important is you have to recognize. This is very important. This is why for us in our life there's a lot of suffering, many problems, But important is they have to recognize. This is very important. Because in the West, you know, if you have sickness, then you have to go to doctor to make appointment and ask the doctor, and doctor also exam about your sickness, you know. You have to pay a lot of money, you know, maybe check your blood, you know, whole body, and sometimes put something in your mouth. And sometimes, you know, x-ray or many, many, many things. Try to figure out what is wrong with you, yeah? It's like, have to spend many times, many money, many effort, a lot of things, to know what is. Sin. This is for the first noble truth, the first one, suffering. Sin. You have to recognize. You have to know what's wrong. Okay. Then now second. In order to eliminate suffering, you have to know the causes of suffering. Sin. In order to remove the sickness, you have to know the causes of sickness. Then you can make medicine according to that. And also, you can, not only the medicine, you know, but behave in Tibetan medicine. There's the main four causes of the sickness. Time or environment, your behavior, second, and mental, three, and food, eating, four. So you manage all those things. This way, if you manage these four, and that is also good for eliminating sickness. this way, that is very important, yeah? To remove the causes of the sickness. That is the second four noble truth, which is the causes of suffering, to be eliminated. If you eliminate that, then what is the result? Free from suffering. If you deal with your sickness to eliminate the causes of sickness, you will have more healthy body. Healthy mind, healthy body, and develop your immune systems. You feel great. You can do more. Then that is the cessation, the freedom to achieve nirvana, enlightenment, whatever. The body has limited, but the mind, the result of body is limited. You can remain healthy, but even healthy, you're getting old, you know. But for the mind, if you really practice with your mind, the development of your mind is unlimited. So you will achieve enlightenment or whatever. And how do you do that? The practice is the path. This is why, how to eliminate disease, you have to take the medicine, the treatment, the behave, manage the time, and the environment, and the food, everything, you know. Like that, that's the path.
So let's now have a look at some of the main points that Nyingma Rinpoche brought up in that presentation.
Vamos a hablar de los principales puntos que Nyingma Rinpoche expuso en esta presentación.
So remember, after the Buddha achieved enlightenment in Bodh Gaya, he went to Sarnath to look for these five ascetics in the hope that they could understand what he had discovered.
Entonces recuerden que nos quedamos en que después de que el Buda alcanzó la iluminación debajo del árbol del Bodhi en Bodh Gaya, él se dirigió a Sarnath a buscar a estos cinco ascéticos para ver si ellos podían entender lo que él había descubierto.
So he gave this teaching on the Four Noble Truths, and as Nyingma Rinpoche said, this is really the foundation of all Buddhist traditions.
Así que cuando llegó, a ellos les dio esta enseñanza, la de las cuatro verdades nobles, y como dijo Mingyur Rinpoche, esta es la base de todas las tradiciones budistas.
Very often in Buddhism, when a new concept is being explained, then often a simple analogy is used to help understand that concept.
Muchas veces en el budismo, cuando un nuevo concepto, cuando se está exponiendo o hablando de un nuevo concepto, lo que se hace es que se da una analogía para poder explicar mejor este concepto.
And one of the most common analogies used here, and Mingyur Rinpoche used, was the analogy of some sort of physical illness.
Y una de las analogías que se usa comúnmente, y que de hecho Mingyur Rinpoche lo usó en este video, es la analogía del sufrimiento como una enfermedad física.
So if we think we have some sort of physical illness, then usually the first thing we would do would be to go to a doctor.
Entonces, si nosotros tenemos una enfermedad física, usualmente lo primero que haríamos es ir a un doctor.
And then, of course, the very first thing that the doctor would normally do would be to make a diagnosis.
Y normalmente lo que un doctor haría es hacer un diagnóstico.
And part of the doctor's diagnosis, usually the diagnosis has two parts to it.
Y usualmente el diagnóstico tiene dos partes.
The first thing the doctor would do would be to examine our current condition by making lots of tests.
Primero lo que haría un doctor es evaluar nuestra condición actual, usualmente haciendo un montón de tests.
Again, so examining symptoms, you know, what symptoms are we displaying.
Examinando nuestros síntomas y viendo qué síntomas es los que estamos experimentando o mostrando.
And then based on this examination, which maybe involved lots of various tests, the doctor would then try to determine what is the underlying illness or that's causing these symptoms.
Y entonces, después de hacer esta gran cantidad de tests, lo que haría el doctor es ver qué está pasando de forma por debajo de todos estos síntomas, qué es lo que están cuál es la causa por debajo de estos síntomas que están haciendo que experimentemos todas estas síntomas externos.
So these are the two stages of the diagnosis, the examining the symptoms and the condition we find ourselves in, then trying to determine what is the underlying illness that's causing these symptoms.
Entonces, primero lo que se evaluarían son los síntomas que estamos exponiendo y después, o presentando, y después se trataría de buscar cuál es de hecho la enfermedad que está subyacente y que está haciendo que estos síntomas se presenten de forma externa.
And then, of course, following the diagnosis comes the prognosis. What can we do about this sickness or illness?
Y entonces, dependiendo de lo que estemos, de lo que se encuentre, que es la causa que está haciendo que todos estos síntomas se presenten, entonces lo que se hace es una prognosis o prognóstico. Lo que se hace es el pronóstico para ver cómo se puede ayudar a que esta enfermedad se vaya.
And the analogy we're using here is a curable illness, one that we can cure.
Y la analogía que estamos usando aquí es del tratamiento de una enfermedad que es curable.
And so the prognosis here would be that the doctor would say, I believe this is your illness, and yes, we can cure this.
Y entonces la analogía aquí como funcionaria es una enfermedad en la que el doctor diría, bueno, esta es la enfermedad que tienes y este es el pronóstico, así que de hecho sí podemos curar esta enfermedad que presentas.
And then of course, following this prognosis comes the cure. The doctor would prescribe the cure, the remedy.
Y después del pronóstico lo que sigue es el remedio o la cura y es lo que seguiría.
And of course this could mean taking some medicine, maybe some operation, depending on the illness.
Y a lo mejor esto implicaría tomar algún tipo de medicina o tener una cirugía dependiendo del tipo de enfermedad.
So we can see that we go through these stages if we have some sort of physical illness.
Entonces, si tuviéramos algún tipo de enfermedad física, usualmente seguiríamos estos tres pasos.
So in this way, the Buddha is like our doctor.
De este modo, el Buda es como nuestro doctor.
Because he is diagnosing what is our current condition. What condition do we really find ourselves in now? This is the first noble truth.
Entonces, la primera verdad noble, el Buda diagnostica qué condición estamos en este momento.
Normally, this is translated into English as suffering.
Usualmente esto se traduce al inglés como suffering o en español sufrimiento.
But this is another classic example of how terminology creates a lot of confusion.
Pero este es un ejemplo clásico de nuevo en cómo la terminología crea confusión.
Because normally when we see this word suffering, for us in an English language and probably in Spanish as well, when we see this word, it means some sort of unpleasant, painful physical or mental experience.
Porque usualmente cuando vemos esta palabra en inglés y por supuesto yo creo que también en español, lo que pensamos es algún tipo de incomodidad o dolor físico o mental.
So this is the Buddha's diagnosis, that he is saying that this is the basic human condition.
Y este es el diagnóstico del Buda. Aquí el Buda está diciendo que esto es la condición fundamental que human, right? Humana.
So often you find in Buddhist teachings, people, when they're explaining this, you will hear something like, according to Buddhism, all life is suffering.
Y entonces aquí es lo que escuchas en algunas exposiciones que dicen, de acuerdo al budismo, toda la vida es sufrimiento.
But of course when we hear that, we tend to feel a bit uncomfortable, thinking that doesn't sound right.
Pero por supuesto, cuando escuchamos esto, a veces esto nos puede hacer sentir incómodos porque no suena cierto o correcto.
Because sometimes, you know, we have pleasant experience, happiness experience, so it doesn't seem like all life is suffering.
Porque por supuesto que también tenemos experiencias placenteras y de felicidad, entonces no es cierto que toda la vida es sufrimiento.
So the Buddha must have got it wrong.
Así que seguro el Buda estaba mal.
What the problem, of course, is the terminology.
Por supuesto, aquí el problema es la terminología.
The Buddha never said our whole life is physical, mental, unpleasant experiences.
El Buda nunca dijo toda nuestra vida es una sarta de experiencias físicas, mentales y poco placenteras.
We know from our own direct experience that's not true.
Y por supuesto sabemos de nuestra experiencia directa que esto no es cierto.
What the Buddha said was that our human condition is dukkha.
Lo que el Buda dijo es que nuestra condición humana es dukkha.
Sanskrit word dukkha, which has a much broader meaning than the word suffering in English.
La palabra dukkha en sánscrito tiene un espectro de significado mucho más amplio que en inglés o en este caso español.
And I think as Mingyi Rinpoche mentioned, sometimes this word dukkha is not translated as suffering to avoid this confusion.
Y creo que de hecho lo dice Mingyi Rinpoche en el video, a veces la palabra dukkha no se traduce como sufrimiento justo para que no haya esta confusión.
Sometimes this word is translated here as unsatisfactory.
A veces se traduce como insatisfacción.
So if someone were to say to you that according to Buddhism, life is unsatisfactory, then you might think, maybe that's true. Let's think about that.
Y si alguien te dijera, entonces, de acuerdo al budismo, toda la vida es insatisfacción, a lo mejor pensarías, bueno, eso sí tiene algo de cierto, eso sí puede ser correcto.
After this presentation, we're going to show the presentation on the first noble truth, where we look at this term in more detail. So then we're going to look at what does this word really mean.
Después de esto vamos a ver la la siguiente presentación, que es de la primera verdad noble, y vamos a hablar un poco más de este término y de qué exactamente es lo que se está refiriendo.
Because as Mingyur Rinpoche said, and as the Buddha taught here, that this first noble truth is to be known, to be recognized.
Y entonces, como dice Mingyur Rinpoche en el video, esta primera parte es de hecho reconocer o saber qué es lo que está pasando.
Because if we don't know that we're sick, then we'll never think about trying to find a cure.
Porque si no reconocemos que estamos enfermos, entonces no vamos a pensar en cómo encontrar un remedio o una cura.
We'll think it's just normal and we'll just live like that.
Entonces pensaremos, bueno, mi condición es normal y seguimos viviendo de esta forma.
Then, the second part of the diagnosis is, what is the underlying cause of these symptoms?
La segunda parte del diagnóstico es saber cuál es la causa subyacente que está haciendo que estos síntomas se expresen.
So the second noble truth is the truth of the cause or origin of dukkha or suffering.
Entonces la segunda verdad noble es la causa o el origen de dukkha o del sufrimiento.
And we are going, and of course this, when we understand what the cause or origin of dukkha or suffering is, with this, like the analogy, is something we need to eliminate or abandon.
Y entonces, por supuesto, cuando sabemos cuál es el origen o la causa, lo que implica es que hay algo que debemos de dejar ir o abandonar, eliminar.
And so what is really the underlying cause of the current state we find ourselves in, we're going to be looking at later.
Entonces, ¿cuál es la causa subyacente del estado en el que nos encontramos ahora? Esto lo vamos a ver después.
So this is the Buddha's diagnosis for us.
Este es el diagnóstico del Buda para nosotros.
That we are in this state of dukkha.
Que estamos en este estado de dukkha.
And that we are stuck in this condition, life after life.
Y estamos atorados en esta condición vida tras vida.
And this state that we find ourselves in, life after life, is called.
Y en este estado en el que nos encontramos vida tras vida se llama samsara.
Samsara. Normally this is translated into English as something like cyclic existence.
Esto usualmente se traduce en el español como existencia cíclica.
Meaning that we are cycling life after life in this state of dukkha.
Y esto implica que estamos circulando vida tras vida en este estado de dukkha.
So samsara is not really a place. This is not samsara.
Así que el samsara no es exactamente un lugar. Esto no es samsara.
It's a state of mind.
Es un estado mental.
If we are stuck in this unsatisfactory state of dukkha, we are experiencing samsara.
Si estamos atorados en este estado insatisfactorio mental de dukkha, estamos en el samsara.
But of course, the Buddha's prognosis was very good.
Pero por supuesto que el pronóstico del Buda era un pronóstico muy positivo, o muy bueno.
Which is the third noble truth, is that we can be cured, we can achieve a healthy state.
Y aquí viene la tercera verdad noble, y es que podemos de hecho ser curados, podemos alcanzar un estado sano.
And normally that's translated in English as cessation, meaning the ceasing or ending of all suffering and its causes.
Y esto se traduce como cesación, implicando que podemos cesar o totalmente eliminar la causa del sufrimiento.
And when we achieve this healthy state, freedom from suffering, this state is called nirvana.
Cuando logramos este estado o esta cesación, a este estado se le llama nirvana.
So again, nirvana is not a place.
Y de nuevo, nirvana no es un lugar.
It's not like when we overcome suffering that we end up on some cloud over the back of the hill here called nirvana.
No es que cuando cesa el sufrimiento terminamos acá en una nube aquí afuera que se llama nirvana.
Nirvana is also a state of mind.
Nirvana es también un estado mental.
So when we have achieved this liberation, we experience this same world as Nirvana.
Cuando logramos este estado mental, experimentamos el mismo mundo, este mundo como Nirvana.
So it's not some alternate reality where we end up in.
No es una realidad alterna en la que terminamos.
So of course then, how do we achieve this healthy state, the ending of suffering and its causes?
¿Cómo logramos este estado mental sano, el fin del sufrimiento y de sus causas?
So that's the fourth noble truth, truth of the path.
Y esta es la cuarta verdad noble, la verdad del camino.
Truth of the path leading to the cessation of suffering.
La verdad del camino que lleva a la cesación del sufrimiento.
So, of course, then cessation is something to be achieved.
Así que, por supuesto, la cesación es algo que debe de ser lograda.
And in order to achieve this goal, we need to practice the path.
Y para poder lograr ese objetivo, debemos practicar el camino.
So this is a brief overview of the Four Noble Truths using this analogy of a physical illness.
Así que este es un vistazo a las cuatro verdades nobles usando esta analogía de la enfermedad.
Any questions about this overview?
¿Alguna pregunta acerca de este vistazo general?
I was wondering.
Yeah, maybe in Spanish. So.
Okay. Estaba como tengo la sensación de que a lo mejor que el camino esté después de la cesación es un poco como decir, primero tienes que saber que hay cesación para empezar a caminar. O sea, no sé si tiene sentido o realmente no, o sea, si es el orden por otra razón.
¿Qué quieres traducir?
Okay. The order of being the path after the cessation is because you have to know and be sure that there is a cessation in order to start walking there.
Correct. Okay. Correct. I mean, it's in terms of cause and result, of course, it's in this order.
Sí, por supuesto, en términos de causa y resultado, es en este orden, como de la cuarta hacia arriba.
But also the reason that the Buddha didn't teach this first is that first you need to understand or know that you have a suffering.
Y el hecho de que el Buda no enseñó primero la causa o el origen es que primero tienes que saber que estás o reconocer que hay una enfermedad o que estás enfermo.
It's the same with the physical illness. Unless we sort of recognize or feel that we're sick, we're not going to even go to the doctor.
Tienes que reconocer que estás sufriendo y es igual que con la razón por la que vamos al doctor. Tenemos que primero reconocer que hay una enfermedad.
And also, likewise, unless we know that we can become cured or achieve a healthy state, we're not going to apply the cure.
Y por supuesto, si no sabemos o estamos seguros de que hay una cesación y que hay una forma que hay forma para nosotros de llegar a un estado sano, no nos vamos a embarcar en el camino.
We're not going to engage in any activity unless we understand that it's going to bring us some result.
De hecho, no nos vamos a embarcar en ningún tipo de actividad a menos de que estemos seguros de que va a haber un resultado.
So in that way.
Así que
any other questions?
Sí.
No me quedó claro lo que él hablaba del nirvana. El nirvana era la cesación o el camino, o ninguna de
las. It's not clear to me what nirvana is. It is the cessation or the path or none of the above.
Nirvana is the cessation. Nirvana is the state, the healthy state that we will achieve.
Nirvana es la cesación. Nirvana es el estado sano el que vamos a lograr.
Now we are stuck in the state of samsara, this cyclic existence.
Ahorita estamos atorados en este estado de samsara, existencia cíclica.
And if we practice the path, we take the remedy, we can be cured and achieve the healthy state of nirvana.
Y si practicamos el camino, tomamos el remedio, entonces vamos a lograr alcanzar este estado sano, que es el nirvana.
Which is the cessation or ending of all suffering and its causes.
Que es la cesación de todo sufrimiento y de sus causas.
So therefore we will move from being in a state of samsara to the state of nirvana.
Así que así nos vamos a mover de un estado samsárico a uno de nirvana.
From the unhealthy state to the healthy state.
Del estado no sano o enfermo al sano.
Okay, then what we're going to do now is we're going to look at each of those four noble truths in some more detail. And again, to begin that, we're going to show a video on the first of the four noble truths, the truth of suffering or dukkha. So let's begin with that, and then we'll look at that in more detail after the video.
Así que ahora vamos a ver con más detalle cada una de las cuatro verdades nobles, y para esto vamos a comenzar con el primer video de Mingyur Rinpoche.
Can I have a question? Well,
sure. Something. Thank you.
Are we gonna go deeper on nirvana or?
Yes.
Okay. Or kind of.
With all of these things, we are going to look at each one in a little bit more detail this weekend. But then, in the coming weeks, we're really going to go in much more detail. So, two levels.
Preguntaba Mariana si vamos a ir más profundamente, si vamos a profundizar más en el concepto de nirvana, y dice que sí, que vamos a hablar un poco en este fin de semana, pero que vamos a ir
más profundizar más. I want to tell you more detail about the first four noble truths, which is the truth of suffering. And this is very, very important issue. Why? Because everybody has problem. Everybody has some kind of typical situation, obstacles, day-to-day life problems, many things. Doesn't matter who you are. The problem is international. Obstacle is universal. And I have also problem. You have also problem. While you are listening right now, maybe you may have some problems. Whether you notice or not, I don't know. That's why this is very important to know the problem. The first important is to recognize your own problem. It's very important. If you don't recognize your own problem, then problem becomes bigger, double, then becomes very serious, then you may have a little bit of confusion, even you may create a lot of sufferings, extra sufferings. You create different kinds of imagination things, perceptions. You may make box, your own box, and you put yourself into your own box. And you don't know. And you think, what's wrong with me? Why? And you're very stuck with that. And it may cause become, you know, a little bit crazy also, maybe become deluded, or create illusion, delusion, many things. That's why, if you recognize the suffering is suffering, that is the one of the best way to liberate from suffering. Just by recognizing, just by accepting the suffering, just by understanding the problem, it really helps. Now for me, I have many problems, but if I recognize, okay, that is normal, then I don't have extra problems. Let me tell you one small story about it. Oh, no, maybe example, more like example, okay? If someone afraid of snake, you know, snake, and this story is from my father, you know, my father used to tell me when I was young, and this pretty famous story in the Tibet. If someone afraid of snake, and you are living in a house, like a little bit like, the time is a little bit like evening, around 6-5 p.m. And it's very, very, everything is not clear. And you stay inside the house, then your friend come into your home and bring multicolored rope, multicolored, many different colors, and open the door, and throw out the multicolored rope inside your house, and telling you that, hello, there's a snake! And when you look at this rope, multicolored rope, you think, oh, there's a snake. And when you look at the rope, looks like the rope is moving, you know, and coming towards to you, coming close to you, or maybe there's even, I don't know, tongue. you may have very, very frightened and goosebumps and sweat. Any problem? Cannot breathe, you know. Then you are waiting there. How should I do? You know, your friend is gone. Your another friend comes. And your another friend asks you, what are you doing here? And he says, shh, there's snake. And your other friend says, huh? There's no snake. There's no snake. It's just, you know, rope, medical rope. When you see this rope, if you recognize the real situation, the true situation, then there's liberation. That's why suffering is something like that. So when you don't recognize suffering, looks like big and very, very strong and make a lot of extra problems. But actually suffering, most of suffering, your mind created. It's not real. Same like you create many things with the rope. And when you recognize there is a rope, it releases. This is rope. You might feel better, right? Okay, now, this is just general explanation about the benefit of recognizing suffering is suffering. You know, this is very important. So many people now, especially in the modern world right now, they don't want to learn about suffering. They don't want to see the suffering. They try to deny suffering. That causes many, many problems. If you look at the face to face to the suffering, if you learn suffering, what do you do? Some people, even they have suffering, but they deny, and they pretend that I'm nice. Try to smile here, yeah, but stress here. okay, anyway. Okay, then now next is, what are the sufferings? How many sufferings do we have?
Not much. Only two.
You may surprise, you know. What are the two? The first is what we call natural suffering. Natural suffering. Natural suffering. Second is self-created suffering. You create it. And the difference between these two is, for example, sick, physical sick, getting old, and die is natural suffering. Natural suffering. Fear of getting old, sick, and die is self-created suffering. For example, death. Death is the most unpleasant, yeah, more. The ultimate suffering is the death. Because sometimes when I give teachings, I ask people, what do you think? The ultimate suffering. And everybody said, death. I don't agree with that. But, let me ask you one question. The fear of death and death, which one is more painful? Which one is more unpleasant for you? The fear of death or death itself? And when I ask this question to people, everybody say, fear of death is more frightening, more problem. This is why the fear of death is self-created problem. The death is natural problem, natural suffering. This is why if you can accept the death, then even death not become cause of suffering for you. Like my father, when my father going to pass away, he smiled. And he said, thank you for everybody. Thank you for me, my brother, nurse, and doctors. And we all thought, what is he saying? And that night, morning around 3 p.m., he passed away. 3 a.m., not yet. And when he passed away, he said like, a little bit like meditating posture. And we all asked him, oh, maybe you're a little bit tired, maybe you're lying down. He said, oh, and then the breath is just slow down. Finish. Not like. Sometimes I'm sure some people are passing away. And you sit in meditation posture for about three days. This is what we call dying meditation. And looks like smile, looks like it's not really death yet. Almost like he may get speak now, or he may say hi. Okay. This is why I'm choosing death here. Sounds like not nice, yeah. Not nice to be first teaching is death. But that is the ultimate suffering. And if you learn death, if you face to face death, even you can accept the death and transform into practice, path, many things. and this is the natural suffering, difference between natural suffering and self-created suffering. And that goes to many, many things. Self-created suffering, normally really want to create it, because we have monkey mind, what I call crazy monkey mind. This crazy monkey mind, always thinking, talking, bala bala bala, yada yada yada, love to make problem, love to create problem, never want to rest. If there's no problem, then monkey mind begins to have fear. Oh, I'm going to become jobless now. What should I do? Oh dear, there's no problem. there I'm going to look. Problem. And then you look around, you know, to create problem. And maybe you may see similar problem. And you think, the monkey mind thinks, yes, great. I'm going to make it this a big problem. And slowly, slowly make it a big problem. It's like, honestly, everybody has some kind of problem. And once you have problem, you may think, this is the worst problem in my life. You know, something like that. But actually not. If you have another problem, if you have bigger problem than that, then you might think, I thought that was a big problem. Actually, what problem at all? Compare with this second problem, you know. It's like sometimes, you know, you have so big problem. One of my students told me, before I had a lot of problems in my mind, and one day I had a little bit accident, you know, and then accident on my feet. She has a little twist her feet, and painful, and check doctor, and doctor did something wrong. Then after that, the past problem was gone. She feels very nice and relieved, you know, because of that problem. And first problem is gone. And from that she learned about this self-creative problem also. It's very nice. Nice lesson for her. Okay, now the second way to describe problem is three styles to describe problem. The Buddha said, the problem of suffering is the meaning here. The suffering of change, and the second is suffering of suffering, and the third is pervasive suffering. Pervasive. So there's three sufferings. The first is suffering of change is connected with the happiness, kind of like happiness feeling. Connected with a nice feeling, but with strong fixation, grasping, attachment. And this is like example of this, like you are eating very delicious poison. It's poison, no good, but sounds very delicious. It's like, if you have more attachment, more strong fixation, look like you are happy now, but then this situation is impermanent. It's changed. It may change. Once this situation changes, then you felt very deep suffering. You may have depression, heartbreak, anything. That's why one of my teachers called Sajjan Rinpoche, great teacher. He was my 3-year retreat teacher. And he give me an example. He used this example like, there's a mala, you know, he has mala. And he said, I'm going to hold my mala, and if I lift up my mala higher and higher, then when I let go, I'm holding it. I cannot let go of my mala. Anyway, but if I let go my mala from here, it's fall, not so deep, yeah? If I or higher, it may fall more deep. Higher! Fall more deep. Something like that. It's like the heaviness with fixation, attachment, and grasping, as looks like you have nice more and more heaviness, but after that, you will suffer more. Okay, now second suffering. Suffering of suffering. I think this is very easy, you know, everyone knows. It's unpleasant feeling, connected with unpleasant feeling. Suffering, problem. You are facing problem. Problem with your family, problem with your physical body, problem with your job, problem with your study, problem with your business, problem with your friends, girlfriend, boyfriends, you know, a lot of problems. Everyone knows problems. And the third is suffering of pervasive. Pervasive means everywhere. And that feeling of that is neutral. Not pleasant, not unpleasant. Not pleasant as suffering of change. Not unpleasant as like suffering of suffering. Just feeling a little bit unsatisfied. Or feeling a little bit like not completely full. Or a little bit unsecurity. A little bit like very low feeling. And that is the suffering of probation. And these are three ways to describe sufferings. And if you recognize these sufferings, then it's good for you. You might think, I'm not alone here suffering. They are also same as you. And this way, also good for develop love and compassion to others. Because you understand them. You can relate to them. And you can learn more about others. So you feel that connection. You and others is like one family. You are not alone. They are not alone. And that also develop love and compassion. And also develop wisdom. The suffering is your mind created. Okay, let's finish about teaching of truth of suffering.
Let's take a 15-minute break, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about the suffering, the dukkha.
Vamos a tomar un break de 15 minutos.